Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, the 22nd of May, 1983. God bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God on this beautiful Lord's Day.
Scripture this morning is taken from Revelations 2, 1 through 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not hear from which are evil, and thou hast tried them which saith they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have remembered against those because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and we'll remove that candlestick out of this place, except you repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast the deeds for the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to thee of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day that you've made and created. Thank you for each one that is reminded of this day and has come out to the house of the Lord. We're so thankful we can know that thou art God and there is none other, and that we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the neighbors ourselves. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can know that God is our refuge and strength of our present help and trouble. And we are so thankful that we can know that we have but one God and one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Lord, we are so thankful that we can know today that we have the same God that roamed this world and performed all kinds of miracles and healed the sick, lame, and blind while he is here on this earth. And we are so thankful that this is the same God that we are serving today. We're so thankful that we can know one of the greatest miracles he ever performed was when he saved the thief on the cross. Lord, now we are so thankful for this day and for everyone here, and we pray that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of God will be with us and guide and direct us in everything we do or say. We ask this prayer this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, for our last hymnal this morning, let's turn to page 127. I love to tell the story. Let's stand and sing all three verses.
Jesus and His glory, of Jesus. find as good of a church down there as we were here. And I hope that my flute playing, it may not be too good, but I hope it's, you know, been an inspiration and has given a message to you all. And I'm going to play "To God Be the Glory."
Message, Brother Tom is going to come to sing a song for us. God bless him.
We've ever sung this one here, our choir. Sandy's practiced it a whole lot, so I'm going to try to sing it this morning. Listen to the words in this. It's got some real pretty words, good message in it.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Human forget, so remind me.
appreciate the talent God's given to everybody. I know we're going to miss Melanie while she's gone to Mississippi, but just thank God for Jeff and just pray God's blessing upon you all while you're away from us. Know God's able. Put God first, and you never can go wrong. Let Him be number one. We're going to look today at a message entitled, Where Has Love Gone? Today is Pentecost Sunday. 50 days ago was Easter. 7 weeks ago was Easter Sunday. And on this, what we call Pentecost Sunday, we know that the Holy Spirit descended on the 120 there in Jerusalem in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came to live within them. And they had energy that, I tell you, they had energy, as the old saying, energy to burn. They went out to give out God's Word in the energy of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, don't leave here until you be endued with power from on high. When we talk to young couples that are fixing to get married, I tell them, in fact, during the short sermonette I have in the wedding, I mention the fact, never forget the early days of your love. And I tell you, I'd like for each one of us today to think back on the day that we were saved and how we loved the Lord and were willing to do anything, to go anywhere, to say any word of witness. In the Daily Bread, I cut out a page. The title of the message this morning is the title of this page here in the Daily Bread. Where Has Love Gone? The verses Brother Combs read to us was about the church at Ephesus. They had a lot of things that were right with them, but they had one thing that was wrong. They had left their first love. It's tragic when another lover comes into a natural family and trouble comes beyond anything that anyone could realize today. Mom and Dad broken apart. But I believe the greatest tragedy of all today is not a tragedy of another lover coming between a mom and a dad. That's tragic. But the tragedy of all tragedies is where another lover comes into a spiritual life and chokes our love for the Bible and for the things that are eternal. James had to write scorching words in the 4th chapter of James. In verse 4 he said, and this will be our key verse for today, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If our love today for the Bible, for the church, for other Christians' fellowship is not what it used to be, something is drastically wrong, and it's not God's fault. As I said, I'd like for us today to think back the time you met the Lord and you were saved. If we could close our eyes today and think back on that day, you may not know what day of the week it was or what month. But I trust there has been a day in every person's life here this morning when you met the Lord, when you met Him face to face. Where has love gone? There are some verses in the book of Jeremiah. Actually, some sad verses here. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 5, the Lord says through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 2 and verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain?" Where has love gone? How much do you and I love the Lord? I believe our love vertically, is more important than horizontal love, love for each other. That should be what it should be also. But my friend, today, if we love the Lord as we should, our love for our wife, our family, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, it is also going to be what it should be. Our love for God is very, very important. Where has love gone? When a person loses his or her first love for the Lord, it's not because of some fault in God. It's our fault. The Bible tells us again in our key verse in James 4:4, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." There's another wonderful verse in the book of Deuteronomy. There was a lawyer one time stood up in Matthew 22, and he said to Jesus, "What is the great commandment?" In Matthew 22:36. "What is the great commandment?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." He quoted here Deuteronomy 6:5. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love the Lord." And on down in the 10th through the 12th verses of Deuteronomy, we have some other verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'd like to turn back to that. And verses 10 and 11, first of all. The Lord here talking through Moses. "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not," verse 11, "and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full," what a verse, verse 12 is, "then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Lest thou forget the Lord. I don't see how anyone could forget the Lord, do you? Someone who reached down. Some of you have been saved quite a few years. The Lord one day reached down and lifted you out of sin to salvation. And he put a new song in your mouth. David said in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. He hath delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Here in these verses, I believe, is every reason why we should truly love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our total being. Do we love the Lord like that? Do I love the Lord like that? Where has love gone? In Jeremiah 2, in the 13th verse, God said to the people of Israel, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." The Lord here says about His people, they have forsaken Me. Where has love gone? Do you and I love the Lord as much today as we did last Sunday? Or 10 years ago? Or the day we were saved? The children of Israel had forsaken the real source of living water. And they had tried to hew them out cisterns that could hold no water, broken cisterns. I believe in a way this is what Adam and Eve tried to do there in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, you know what they tried to do? They tried to sew fig leaves together and make themselves aprons. A broken cistern. Fig leaves could not hide sin. And so God comes along, and you know what He does? He kills an animal and gives Adam and Eve coats of skin. God did this. And my friends, we should not seek anywhere else to find joy in life except in the Lord. The Lord has the joy that we need. Why forsake the Lord and try to hew out broken cisterns that can hold no water, can hold no joy? Solomon was the king after David, Dad. And you know about Solomon, he asked the Lord. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. But he said, I want wisdom, Lord. Because these people do not know how to go out and come in. I need wisdom to lead this thy people. You know the story about how a lady, she lay on her baby one night and it died, and she stole another baby and took the baby that had died to another mother. And they both came to Solomon and they told the story. This lady told the story. And Solomon finally said, this shows the wisdom God had given him. Give me a sword and let's cut the baby in two, the live baby, and give one part to one mother and another part to the other mother. And the real mother said, no, give it to her. In the early part of Solomon's life, it says in 1 Kings 3 and verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. But you know, 8 chapters go by, the 3rd chapter, 4, all the way to chapter 11. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 11 of 1 Kings that Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and Hittites. And verse 3 says, his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Did you know what? Something or someone is vying for a position in our lives. And Jesus wants to be first. He wants to be number one, doesn't he? And we need to give Him first place. Where has love gone? Solomon loved the Lord. Something else came into Solomon's life. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Solomon allowed his wives to turn away his heart after other gods. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the verses that Brother Combs read for us in closing our lesson, our message for today. In Revelation chapter 2, we're told there about the church at Ephesus, one of the seven churches of Asia, where Paul had ministered and no doubt had established this church. There was a lot of things right with the church at Ephesus. Let's look at a few of those things. The Lord said, I know thy works. I know thy labor. I know thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. In verse 2, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. You have patience. For my name's sake you've labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, in verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I pray today that we as a church, as individuals, if we really and truly know the Lord today, I trust we'll come back to our first love that we had. Where has love gone? What can cause our love for the Lord to grow cold? I believe there are five things I want to mention. There may be others that we can mention today. Failure to feed our new nature. I thank God you're in church today. I trust you're going to get fed, or I trust you are feeding on God's Word right now. Failure to feed our new nature that God's given us when we were converted. A Christian has two natures, I believe. I heard someone preach one time that when a person is saved, the old nature is killed, period. I believe this. A really, truly thinking person has had trouble today out of the old nature. Did you know what? If the devil can, he'll cause more trouble on Sunday morning than any other time in the week. You mark it down. Sunday morning is the devil's time to cause trouble if he can. But I know this, we can get victory over Satan. That wonderful verse that Brother Earl loves so well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have to be defeated. We need, friends, to feed our new nature. Not one day a week, but every day. Every day. Our new nature needs to be fed. We need to starve the old nature. It's like the Indian who said, it seems like there are two dogs inside of me, one a white dog and one a black dog. You've heard the illustration. And the missionary said to the Indian, which one wins? And the Indian said, the one I say sick 'em to. I tell you, friends, we need to starve the old nature. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, in Romans chapter 7. I believe another way our love can grow cold is the neglect of God's house. There was a king in the Old Testament. The first thing he did, you know what it was to clean out God's house. That's the first thing that he did. And they found God's Word hidden away in God's house. All the trash was taken out. They had beautiful homes to live in, and God's house was neglected. God help us to get back to serving the Lord and not neglecting the Lord's house. I believe another way our love grows cold is the neglect of God's Word, God's precious book, the Bible. We'll never love the Bible too much. God's Word speaks to us. It's like a mirror that we look in. It shows us like we are, with all of our spiritual blemishes. The Bible tells it like it is. Where has love gone? Do you love the Lord? Do I love the Lord as much as I did when I was saved? Back there almost 28 years ago. I need to love Him more than I did back then. I believe another reason our love grows cold is the neglect of the prayer closet. Prayer. Somebody say it like this: when it's hardest to pray, pray hardest. When it's hardest to pray, pray hardest. I believe another reason why love grows cold, and I guess this is my drawback this past week, and that is having an unthankful attitude. Did you know it's God's will that we be thankful for everything? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Can we thank God for everything? We were on our way to Lexington Thursday, and the generator light came on inside the car, and we pulled off at a service station at Stanton, and I got my Bible, and I told Myrna that I don't believe Romans 8:28 has been cut out of the Bible, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And sure enough, when I turned back to that, it hadn't been cut out. Well, they thought it was some tubing wrong, so they replaced that. We got back on the Mountain Parkway, and the generator light came on again. I could just see our sales there parked by the side of the road with the rain pouring down. So we had to get a new alternator at a service station. I didn't feel like getting out in the road and jumping about 10 feet high and saying, "Praise the Lord." I had to get a new alternator. I didn't feel like that, but I should have. Did you know what? If we had gone on to Lexington like we were, all four of us could have been killed. I don't know what the Lord had planned on down the road. But I know this. If we'll do what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks," our love for the Lord can be what it should be. Let's have a thankful attitude. There was a young woman named Ann Steele. She encountered one disappointment after another. And being a devout Christian, she tried to praise God. She sought to praise God even in sorrow. She was engaged to be married and looked forward to her wedding day. The big day arrived. The guest arrived. And the groom did not arrive. Fiancée was drowned. sudden shock was almost too much for Ann Steele. But she later wrote a poem that says, "Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free. The blessings of thy grace impart, and make me live to thee." Where has love gone? I trust our love for the Lord is what it should be today. Give thanks. Be thankful unto Him, the Bible says. And bless His name. Brother Tom's going to come to lead us in our invitation hymn. 349 is Melvin and Linda come to the piano and organ. This psalm says, "I surrender all." Your love for the Lord might have grown cold. If it has, why not today, there in the pew, covenant with God that you're going to feed your soul. And your love for the Lord is going to be what it should be as we stand to sing 349.